Hi, everybody. I apologize for being late this evening. I have been working all day to create an iMovie. I got it all done and went to upload it, and I don't have enough room on my iPad to upload it. So I've been scrambling and deleting some photos and things off my iPad, and lo and behold, in that process, I deleted videos that were part of the iMovie. So anyway, it's ridiculous, and I'm gonna work on it. Next, well, not next week, the week after. I'm gonna bring something together because it was a good one. So we will just try it again. We are all learning this digital being at church together right now. So hopefully those who are who have been checking to see if we're going to be on are now joining. Thank you, Amy and Erica and Tia, for letting me know that you have hung in there and waited for me to come on. Rita, thanks. Hi. What I'm going to do instead is just bring you the sermon I had planned. Originally, I had some songs done. Amy Tucker did some singing for us, and it was going to be cool, guys. You'll just have to trust me. But we'll try it again. So we are 1 week away from Easter, and we are planning a special service next week. I have joined together with four other lead pastors at Free Methodist churches around Oregon. And right now, we have made videos, and they're in the hands of a professional, competent videographer. And he is putting together a special Easter celebration for next week. We will be showing it during our normal time, Saturday at 6, and I think that you're really going to enjoy listening to the Easter story in a different way. We had originally planned to have Easter at a park on Sunday, Easter morning. We visited the park, the planning committee, we had it all figured out, and then everything changed, and we can't congregate in a park, as you all know. We are here in our homes and we are social distancing. Social distancing, a new phrase that we have all become so aware of. You know how much I would enjoy, probably as much as you would, going into a grocery store right now and going to the paper products aisle and not seeing bare shelves, but actually seeing toilet paper. Why toilet paper? I don't get it. But I do know that we are all becoming very good conservationists in figuring out just how much toilet paper is necessary when toilet paper is actually necessary. So I'm coming to you from my living room, a little different setting than I have used at other times, hoping that the whole process of the sound and the video might be a little more clear and easier to watch. Today, I want to look at part of what we read this last week in our Read Through the Bible plan, which we are doing at New Vision. God foresaw what was coming, and before the first of this year, he told our leadership team that we needed to be reading through the Bible. And I believe that it was for such a time as this. You know, when you think about the early church in the book of Acts, how they joined together every day and how they shared all things in common, we're finding that we're doing the same thing. We are joining together. We are joining together on Saturdays for our church service. We're joining together on Sundays for a Zoom prayer meeting where the intercessors get together and pray for all of the prayer requests we receive. We're getting together on Tuesday nights live. We're getting together on Wednesdays at noon for a Zoom prayer meeting, and everyone is invited to that. I post the Zoom link on our Facebook page so that you can click on that and it will take you magically, automatically to the Zoom page. And all you have to do is type in your name there, and you'll be in a virtual room with other people, real faces, real voices, and we get to interact together. Thursday night on Facebook Live, Friday, and then times in between where we're calling each other, sending cards, sending texts, Facebook messaging. We are meeting together every day, and we are sharing all things. And one of the most important things that we are sharing is our love of Scripture and our reading in the Bible together. Each week's Bible reading is posted on Facebook. And we've also taken a picture of the pamphlet that we're using, and there's a picture there on Facebook that you can zoom in on and see right where we are reading this week. And then the new week starts. It's reading Monday through Friday. Don't feel like you need to go back and pick up the last 3 months. If you haven't started yet, start right where we are now. Each of the sermons is built on our Bible reading. And today, I want to look at an interaction Jesus had in Luke 13. But first, I just want us to think a moment about how we can be going through our everyday lives, feeling that there's a purpose and a plan most days, accomplishing things, doing our work, and bam, all of a sudden, something happens that interferes with our plans. Now, COVID-19 is that bam, something happened. And it's being experienced worldwide. I think it's the first time we've had anything in this magnitude that's affected people around the world in exactly the same way. Some people who are watching certainly remember World War II. You were alive then, possibly, and Pearl Harbor was bombed. And then most of us remember 9/11. And both of those events were because of foreign forces invading our borders, pushing into our boundaries. But COVID-19 is different. It is not a respecter of any kind of boundaries. It didn't use force. It just came. And it's changed the world. And it's changed our world. I know that my experience with boundaries have mostly been through dealing with my dogs. And they may bark during this, which would not be unusual for those who have ever been in my house. You all know that my dogs have me better trained than I have trained them, for the most part. But I'm able to choose my boundaries right now. I can choose to turn on television. I can choose what channel I want to watch. I can choose to change channels if I don't want to listen anymore. I can choose what books I'm going to read, how much time I'm going to spend reading. I can choose to go on social media, to look through Instagram, to post there, to go on Facebook and interact with our community, or to look through my newsfeed, to message, to text. All of those things are my choices. Interestingly, this morning, Christina texted me, and she said she woke up and felt that she was to anoint her home with oil. And I took a moment and thought about that, and I thought, yeah, I need to do the same thing. This home now becomes the place that God uses me. We're not in a situation where we're waiting for this to end and then God will get on with his work. God is doing his work now through us, through all sorts of means. And it is in our homes that we find peace and purpose. And we participate in the plans of God. So I took my anointing oil, and you can do the same thing. You can take olive oil. If you do not have olive oil, don't go to the store and buy that. Just use vegetable oil, whatever oil you have at home. And all you have to do is reach to the top of your door frame and put a little cross mark there and just claim that the home is for Jesus Christ only, and that all that dwell within the home will have peace and know his hope and serve him and love him and recognize that each of us is called according to his purpose. Do that around your windows. Do it on each of your exterior doors. And if you can't reach above to the door jamb, just do it on the side. Proclaim that where you are sheltering in place, and thank God for shelters right now, where you are sheltering in place becomes the spot where God uses you, despite the fact that we were going about our lives and bam, something happened and changed our plans and our trajectory. So when we look in Luke, and take your Bibles right now, and if you have a book that you're opening, find Luke. If you have your device, go ahead and open your Bible app. If you do not have either one of those things, then you can open BibleGateway.com and type in Luke 13. Now, I read and use the New Living Translation for the most part when I preach, and that's what I'm going to be sharing from today. But it's okay if you're using a different version. In fact, I think it helps with our study to read it in a slightly different version, slightly different words, so that we can more fully grasp what is being shared with us. So what we have when we look at this situation that begins in chapter 13 of Luke, verse 31, is that Jesus has been going about his work. He has been healing everyone who's brought to him, who's sick. He has been teaching his disciples. He has been proclaiming that the kingdom of God is near, almost here. And then this happens in verse 31. Some people come up to him, the very people who know how to push his buttons best and interrupt an otherwise good day. The Pharisees, a group of Pharisees. And they say this, get away from here if you want to live. Herod Antipas wants to kill you. They were threatening Jesus, but they weren't just threatening him without an agenda. You see, Herod Antipas, he was the one who had imprisoned and killed Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. John had called Herod out for divorcing his first wife and marrying his stepbrother's wife. And when he did that, it made Herod and his current wife, Herodias, very angry, to the point where they imprisoned him. And John was killed during that imprisonment. So these Pharisees were coming up, not just saying, hey, your head's on the block. We are going to get you. But saying Herod Antipas. So what does that do to Jesus? It hits him right here. What does it do to us when someone or something reminds us of that pain that we've suffered in the past? It's hard to keep going. It's hard to keep going on. And so Jesus faces these antagonizers. And what he says to them, we find in the next verse, in verse 32. And he starts out and he says, go tell that fox. Now, this is a good point to stop, because foxes in the day of Jesus were viewed as destructive and as worthless pests. So to call someone a fox would be equivalent to saying, tell that dirty rat. Oh, I'm going to get you, you dirty rat. So he says, Go tell that dirty rat that I will keep on casting out demons and healing people today and tomorrow. And the third day, I will accomplish my purpose. Yay, Jesus, we might think you put them in their place. But it wasn't that that was his purpose. Certainly, he probably reacted from an emotional point. We've talked before about Jesus being an emotional being just like we are, right? But what he did was say, look at my actions. Look at what is being done. The demon possessed are being freed. And those who are ill are being healed. And I'm telling you that because those are the signs you should be recognizing. Because the prophets have gone before and told you that when you see those signs, the Messiah has come. It was through his actions that Jesus was doing the work that he knew needed to be accomplished. Now, when God created the world, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were all there together, and they created the world, and the plan was perfect, and then wham, things changed, and there was destruction and death. And then God sent Jesus to come to earth. And that was over 2,000 years ago. And then when Jesus lived, he had only 33 short years in his life. And only 3 of those years he was in ministry. So he knew there was a plan and a purpose. And that plan and purpose needed to be carried out so that there could be an Easter to celebrate, so that there could be a Resurrection Sunday. Now we look ahead next week to Easter. That means that tomorrow is Palm Sunday. And when we worship together on a Saturday, oftentimes those Christian traditions that we're used to celebrating on Sunday, we're looking ahead at. Palm Sunday is the day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem for the very last time. So will you join me in looking further in Luke 13 and picking up now at verse 33, and we'll go ahead and read through verse 35. It says, yes, today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must proceed on my way. For it wouldn't do for a prophet of God to be killed except in Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. And now look at your house. It's abandoned. And you will never see me again until you say blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And this is where our reading from last week ties in to Palm Sunday, to that triumphant entrance that Jesus makes into Jerusalem. And we will be reading this the week after Easter Sunday. I guess it's actually the week of Easter, which is very fitting. But I want to reference it today. It's in Luke chapter 19, if you want to flip over there with me in your Bible or find it on your device. Type it in Bible Gateway, Luke 19, verse 36. This is what happened just a short time after Jesus had the interaction with the Pharisees when they brought up Herod and knew that they were striking a chord with him. But also when he stood up and proclaimed, I have a purpose and God has a plan.